In the name of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I am grateful to be here at St. George's again and for this particular service because it is a pointer and a spiritual indicator that St. George's is continuing to move forward into a wonderful future of declared mission. And so you need to know, if you don't remember anything else I say, that's why we're here. It has to do with the declared mission of this congregation. And often at this particular type of service of the celebration of a new ministry, which is what we call it now, rather than the installation of a rector, which sounds more like something you do in an auto parts shop. What we are doing is celebrating the full ministry of the entire congregation within the context of the church universal. So it's not just St. George's. It's that if you look over here and see these members of the clergy from different congregations, they're representatives of the diocese. And the diocese is representative of course, the Episcopal Church, which is part and parcel of the Church Catholic. And so, that being true, I want to say something a little bit more about the letter to the Ephesians. It's often labeled as the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, and that might not be true in terms of authorship, but it's certainly true in terms of character of purpose, meaning that when it was written under that sense of declared authority of the Apostle Paul for the purposes of the mission of the church. And that has to do with this. That when we come to this particular service, there will come a point in which I will give the new rector a small symbolic gesture and amount of water, authorizing and declaring and inviting the new rector to join with me in baptism in the life of the church. Baptism is, of course, something that the bishops did in the life of the church, and then as the church grew, it was no longer possible for the bishop to be present at every baptism, and so the priests did so on behalf of the fullness of the church carrying on baptism. And I bring that up because in this particular writing, we hear these words, there is one body and one spirit. Just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Now, if that sounds familiar to you, you've probably been to a service of baptism in the Episcopal Church with the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, this is where it's from. You know, it's nice to know when we read the Book of Common Prayer that people weren't sitting around just going, you know, I feel poetic today. They were actually taking established words of Scripture, which gave a message to the church about why we're even here. And so this particular chapter in the letter to the Ephesians talks about the qualities of life that God expects. It starts off with Paul saying, I expect and beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. That means to everybody, not just the new rector. And that is a calling of humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance. Now, that's pretty good stuff. If you can have those four qualities, you're leading a life that God is expecting. And what's so helpful to note is that those same four qualities you'll find in three other books in the Old Testament. And so in the New Testament, they weren't feeling particularly poetic either. They were taking it from something they knew that was an expectation of God. And so when we read the Ephesians in the context of the celebration of new ministry, declaring a person to be a pastoral and spiritual leader in the life of a congregation, we're starting, when we use this reading, with beliefs that the early church held in common, that there would be every effort to maintain unity of the Spirit that was given by the Spirit. Now, that's also helpful to know. It doesn't say, if you act good, you will make the Spirit happen. What it's saying is that there is one Spirit that is already living amongst the church, and you often can see the Spirit at work when you see humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance. And then it goes on to that section that we most often hear and understand, that there are gifts that were given in the church, and these gifts are that some would be called apostles. That would be me. Some would be prophets. That could be, I don't know. Could be right here. That some would be evangelists, to tell the faith of the church to those who don't know that there actually is salvation for wounded and broken hearts. Some would be pastors and teachers, which we always expect from our rectors, at least that. And that all of this work, and this is not all of the work, but all of this work has to do with showing the common element of the belief that we hold, that the Spirit is binding us together, and that these roles are functional within the church to equip the church to a certain maturity for stability and order. Now, let me say that another way. When a congregation with its vestry, elected leadership, and a diocese declares that someone actually is called to be a rector, we expect that rector to lead and bring order into a life of a congregation. Now, I did not just say that St. George's before was unruly and without order. But you've probably seen some congregations like that. Maybe this one in other times. But I have seen St. George's through many times, and what I see now is a new sense of order for mission. So when this service takes place and these symbolic gifts are offered, they are offered for the ministry of the whole church. Now, it's interesting to note, and I promise you I won't take very long here because I know that it's 5:30, which means usually we're either hungry or ready for a little, you know, time of sharing. Not me. But at this particular service, we're using this Gospel of Luke, and in which we read, and Luke is the one that declares it this particular way, the Lord appointed 70 others, or it might be 72 others, to send on ahead of him in pairs to every place where he was going to go. And what we can perceive by this particular writing in Luke's Gospel is that he's most probably pointing out that the church is being sent out to all of the nations. And that there's an anticipation in which all of the nations is the target of the mission of the church, expecting that the day of Pentecost, where the sharing of the Holy Spirit that is talked about in Ephesians is lived and expected, that God's Holy Spirit will work through the church from every nation under heaven, including what happens here at St. George's. What I've seen happen at St. George's over several priest leaders and intentions of members of the congregations is what is said to the rector in the letter of the institution to care for all young and poor, rich, elderly, and that what is being stated here happens here. I've seen the poor cared for, and I've seen it done with diligence of heart and mercy in the lives of the baptized in this place. And is that not wonderful that we start off a service by giving a small amount of water and saying, this represents who you are, and that you are part of the church for the whole world? Now, of course, the whole world doesn't know St. George's, but the whole world is influenced by what St. George's offers. And St. George's has said before and recognized that it has the power to change the world. I remember when this congregation used to identify itself as the congregation that makes a difference. Anybody remember that? Anybody besides me?
Yep.
Okay, good. Because I think it's still true. And I think that when you've called a rector, you've called a rector that you expect to make a difference not only in your life, but so that you can make a difference in the lives of other people who might, with a sense of maybe uncertainty or fear, walk through these doors and find something they didn't know that they were looking for. I think it's pretty interesting that this particular service, I'm going to say something right now that it's a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's historically true. So you can use this later, Lenny, if you want to. That when this service was really established, it was established as giving the rector the ability to have a sense of lordship over the property. And in earlier versions, and here's the part I just love, even though the bishop was present, and I'm quoting, the new incumbent, that would be you, was to say the blessing, after which, quote, now, let's see, where are the wardens here? Okay. After which, the wardens, vestry, and others shall salute and welcome him, bidding him Godspeed. Now, I think if you can get that in church, you've got it all.
It's not you.
You get a paycheck and a salute. Anyways, don't take that to heart. Okay. So I really just want to end with one other piece. And that is this. And I'm sorry I cannot remember where I first discovered this quote, but it is such a helpful thing, particularly in a context in which we gather and we actually act like we think we know what we're doing. And here's the quote. It's, although we belong to the life of the church, the life of the church does not belong to us. Why is that important? It's important because it's God's activity always, always working in the life of the church, bringing about the mission to create maturity and order. And it only happens through obedience and purpose. In just a bit, our new rector here will say, I think, what is perhaps one of the most humbling prayers in the Book of Common Prayer. And I ask everybody here who is overhearing this prayer to listen to what it says the church expects the rector to provide. The bishop is to make sure that the sacraments are provided for. And when a new rector is called, that is the personal focus of how the sacraments are provided, how the gospel is proclaimed, how the teaching of the church is offered, and how people are brought from one sense of status of broken sinfulness to the purpose of sainthood in this life and in the life to come. And there is no person on earth who has the power to be that kind of priest without God making it happen. So, speaking the truth in love, we must grow up. We must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. And it's always especially helpful to know that in the earliest days of the church, those who knew Jesus on the streets and those who began to know Him as He ascended into heaven knew that they were expected to provide maturity, purpose, and order for this life, for those who seek the life to come through God's willing Spirit that is still present right here at St. George's, right here in this diocese, right here in this church.